Tonight, James chapter 1. James, here, the Bible in New Testament, we're reminded of four different Jameses. This happens to be the brother of Jesus. Now, the interesting thing in John chapter 7, verses 2 through 10, the Bible tells us that James was not a believer in Christ when he was during his ministry on the earth. It was not until after the resurrection, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, wasn't until after resurrection that James, he became a believer. They called James here, he had a nickname, they called him Camel Knees, from what I've read about history on him. And they called him Camel Knees because once he got saved, he spent so much time praying that he had calluses on his knees and they looked like camel's knees. And he prayed so much. The book of James is unique in the New Testament. There's a lot of people that uses it to try to discredit salvation by grace alone. But they miss the theme of what James is dealing with. He's dealing to Christian people, saved. But not only saved, but these were saved Jews that were scattered of the 12 tribes. But they were not only scattered, they were scattered because they were being persecuted. They were having life rough. And let me say this. Many of the things that we consider as trials, Paul would say they were light afflictions. Sometimes when we look at other people and things that other people's going through, we got to feel pretty good about what God's done for us. But here, James, he gets in and what he's wanting people to understand and what he's dealing with is this. He never deals with issues of salvation during this letter. That's not his goal. Some has called the book of James the Proverbs of the New Testament. Proverbs was given by Solomon of wisdom. James tries to give us wisdom as Christians on how we ought to live and how we ought to behave. Basically, what he's telling these people that have been scattered, that have been persecuted, he wanted us to know throughout the ages, that if we are saved, we ought to act like it. We ought to grow. We're all going to go through some things in life. We can become bitter or we can get better. But trials will do one of the two things with us. I've seen people that have gone through things and they've become bitter. We were talking about that a while ago. I've seen people go through things and become better. I want to share with you in the book of James and go with me. And by the way, you know, I was thinking we was talking about Christy and coming down and them finding cancer on from the mission field and so forth. People said, why? Why does God do that? Pain, now listen to me. Pain requires attention. I have things sometimes going on, and if it doesn't create enough pain, I just keep ignoring it and go on. But sometimes there's things happen in my body that create so much pain, I have to stop and deal with it. I can't ignore it anymore. God sends pain because we can't ignore pain. We have to attend to pain when we have to deal with it. James talks to Christian people. And he's not telling you how to be saved. He is talking to those who are saved. And he deals with this subject of dealing with trials and testings and tribulations, temptations. Look, if you would, in chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all what? Joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. We'll come back to that. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive what? Anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Let's stop right there. And let's look at a couple of things, if you don't mind. Testings from God and testings upon Christian people comes in two categories. Sometimes they're called temptations. Sometimes they're called trials. Sometimes they're called testings. Sometimes they're called provings. But there's two types. One comes from God. Keep your finger right there and turn with me real quickly, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, notice if you would in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But what? Isn't that odd? James put, receive it with joy, and Peter says rejoice. Look on. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Now let me say this. When God sends a trial in your life, it's the two things. To make you better and to glorify him. You understand that? It is to make you better. All things work for the good. Sometimes when we go through a trial, we think it's unique. We'll get to that in a moment. But now notice Peter says as well, he goes on, he says in verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. You know, the funny thing about it is I've heard people run people down on drugs and alcohol and this, that, and the other, and that's all fine and good in certain extent. But sometimes they're the biggest busybodies there is around. Being a busybody can be just as damning as anything else. And sometimes more damning. I've seen more churches destroyed by busybodies than I ever have with drugs and alcohol and other issues like that. Not that any of those things are right, but we're not to be busybodies in everybody else's business. We're to take care of our own. When we are concerned about somebody and we say we're praying about them, we're to pray about them, not gossip about them. We don't want to hear it and then turn around and tell somebody else as fast as we can get on the phone. Any of you ever remember old party lines we used to have? Oh, Lord, have mercy. We couldn't get a phone call without hearing our neighbor breathing on the other end, listening every little detail. And everybody knew all of our business. And she swore up and down she never listened to nothing, but we knew she was. We'd hear her. Sometimes her grandson would come in and say something to her while we was on the phone. But anyway, getting back, verse 16, but if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let him that suffereth according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto what? So what we need to understand is, we need to understand that trials, look back if you would in the book of James, and notice the Bible says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy, what? What? When. You notice that word when? Not if, when. It's going to happen. Trials from God comes upon every Christian person. And trials from God causes pain. Because pain makes us pay attention to them. When they don't hurt, we ignore them. And it's pain. So God sends certain things in our lives for particular reasons. As I said, for our good, for His glory. But there's also another temptation He mentions here. Look, if you would, back in verse number 13. It says, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. The devil is the one that tempts us to do evil. Now, when God tempts us, He tempts us that we would stand, that we would grow, we would mature. When the devil tempts us, his purpose is that we would sin, stumble, and fall. That's his goal, is to make us stumble and fall. God's goal is to make us stand and to be able to withstand. Now, so when we look at this, the Bible tells us that when we are tempted to do sinful things, I remember one time a guy told me he had trouble with alcohol and he ended up back in a bar. And he said, well, I felt the Lord tempting me with it. I said, that's not the Lord tempting you with that. The Lord don't tempt you to do evil. That's the devil tempting you to do evil. The devil tempts you to sin. God never tempts you to sin. Because God is so good at His temptations and His trials, if He tempted you to sin, you'd sin. He's that good at it. But here the Bible says that when we're tempted, we're drawn away with our own lust. Now, notice here that the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall. Fall means, that word fall means that it comes so quickly, it catches us off guard. I mean, my goodness. We could be going just headlong in something, and all of a sudden something happens in our life that just completely catches us by surprise, and it's just like we fall into it. And I mean, it just shakes us. Now, and by the way, it's never a sin to be tempted. The Bible said Jesus was tempted in all points like us. It's not a sin to be tempted. We're all going to be tempted to do evil. The sin is when our lust conceives and brings forth sin. Now, turn with me one more place, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Keep your finger in James. We're coming back to that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, sometimes people blame God when something comes into them and whenever they fall. But the Bible tells us, if you look here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13, there hath no temptation taketh you but, see that but such is as common to man. See that? Now there's another but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that ye are able. Then there's another but will with the temptation also make a way escape that ye may be able to bear it. Three things you need to remember. Number one, three rebuttals to you when you blame God that you couldn't help doing what you did, feeling bitter, you couldn't help getting upset, you couldn't help losing your temper, you couldn't help quitting, you couldn't help walking away. Number one, you say, nobody knows how I feel. Your temptation's common to everybody else. Other people's gone through the same thing that you've gone through. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is what? Somebody said, well, I went through this. Yes, and I might not have gone through it, but other people has gone through it. You're not by yourself. As a matter of fact, sometimes some people's gone through a whole lot more. You know, I think you all losing your child. Tough, tough thing. I remember Maxine whenever her son had a wreck, and 25-year-old, I had to deal with that. I thought that's so tough. Then I had a guy hired on at the EMS. He worked one day for me and had nightmares and had quit. But his family was hid in a van, and he happened to stay home that night, and every one of his family was killed. And he tried to come and work as paramedic, or as EMT, and he's wanting to become a paramedic. He worked one day and worked a wreck, and that was it. He couldn't handle anything else. And I thought, man, how tough is that? What if you lost all your family? How tough would that be? And so sometimes we go through things, and sometimes people say, well, preacher, I lost a leg. I look at some of these people that comes back from war. They've lost their legs and arms, half their face. Sad part about it is I see them sometimes, they're smiling on TV, saluting a flag, ready to go back and die for America. And some sorry, low down person spitting on a flag. That don't sit well with me. But your temptations are not unique. They're common. God uses different things, but a lot of people experience those same things. Look at what else, verse 13. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able. Sometimes people say, well, preacher, it's just too strong. The Bible says in Psalm 103, he knows our frame. He knows we're dust. He never puts nothing on you, that's too strong for you. You say, well, I'm not like so. You might not be, but look here. He knows your frame. And he doesn't put anything too strong on you that you can't bear. Same way someone else might bear a little bit more than you, but he won't put nothing on them that they can't bear. Look what else. The last but will with the temptation also make what? Somebody said, well, I couldn't help myself. Oh, yeah. With every temptation, God makes a way of escape. He gives you a way out of it. We don't always take it, but we can't blame it on God, because God has three rebuttals right there to everything that we blame God. God, I'm going through this, and I don't understand. He said, it's common. Lord, I can't bear. I never put nothing on you that you can't bear. Lord, I couldn't help. Oh, yeah, you can. I made a way that you could get walk away from it. Look on. Back to James. Look back in James. I want you to see this. Now, James talks about how we are to endure. Number one, with joy. Why do we count joy when we go through these trials of God? They're painful. They hurt. We don't go through them because we enjoy pain. Someone once said something like this, what don't kill us will make us better. Well, that's not always true. But the fact of the matter is that we aren't joyful because of what we're going through. We're joyful of what we know that God's going to bring out of what we're going through. Does that make sense? Because he says, knowing this, in verse 3, that the trying your faith worketh patience. The word patience means endurance. We've talked about that. That's the word that they use for Job. Job didn't like what he was going through. He endured it. He was able to endure. And the Bible talks about, we've been studying in the tribulation time. The Bible talks about those Jews and those who are saved during that time having to endure to the end. They have to have patience to endure. And listen, if you're going to mature, you have to have patience. We had a little boy start the other day, and he wanted to play ball, and some of the boys know who I'm talking about. But he wanted to go out there. He never had played ball, and he wanted to go out there and magically be able to play with everybody else that had been playing several years or playing for a little while. Then he got all distraught because he couldn't play to their level. And he was talking about he wasn't any good. I said, it's not you're not any good. But I said, you've not even began to learn how to play. An oak tree starts out as a nut. And look what that nut turned into be. But it did it through enduring, withstanding. You think what some of you nuts might turn out to be. You was waiting for me to say that, wasn't you? But I'm kidding you. But anyway, the point being is, God uses trials to teach us to have patience. Tribulation worketh patience. He has a purpose for that, to endure. And sometimes we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 or Romans chapter 5 and talk about, you know, that tribulation worketh patience, patience endurance, or patience experience, and experience hope. But anyway, looking back, also the Bible says there in verse number 3 and 4, but let in verse 4 he says, let patience have her perfect work. In other words, she's going to mature you. If you don't have to weather storms, you're never going to be mature. Mature Christians have to go through things. And what James is talking to is mature Christians. Now, notice if you would, and I want you to notice in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work that ye may be perfect. The word perfect there means mature. It doesn't mean without sin. It means mature. And entire, in other words, lacking nothing and being complete, but wanting nothing. Now notice verse 5. A lot of people take this one verse, but they don't understand. Look at the context of where it's at. If any of you lack what? Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and braveth not, that it shall be given him. This is not asking God for just wisdom. Hear me out. When you're going through a trial and you're not understanding, you are to pray to God and ask him for wisdom to see through the purpose of the trial. Not to understand exactly why he chose that thing, but to see and understand what he's going to do with your trial. And have faith in what God can do through your trial. He can get you through, and he can do all kinds of things at the end of the trial. Sometimes you feel like, I'll never smile again. I'll never be happy again. I'll never be able to do this again. But what we have to do is we have to, when we're feeling that way going through something God's putting us through, we need to pray that God will give us wisdom. The wisdom is given to us, look back in verse number 5, that God gives it to all men liberally at that time, and upbraideth it not. The word upbraideth means that he doesn't hold it back. He doesn't withhold it from you, but it shall be given him. In other words, you get going through a trial, and God's going you through a trial. He's putting you through there to mature you, to refine you, and he's going to refine you. But notice, if you would, in verse 6, but let him ask in what? Faith. You have to believe, now listen to me, you have to believe that God has your best interest when you're going through trial. You have to believe and have faith in God and trust God. You have to believe and trust him to the point that you pray to God asking wisdom to understand God's will, not your will. Now notice it, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind tossed. For let not that man think that he shall what? Okay, look here. You know why people go through trials and quits? They don't seek God. They don't believe in God, and they don't believe that God can bring something good out of everything that comes in their life. Paul said, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and call according to his purpose. They don't believe that God is in control. They don't believe that God can intervene, not the way we want, but they don't believe that God can keep them through it. And so therefore, when you seek God in trials, and that's what he's talking about, in midst of trials, when you seek God in midst of trials, asking him for wisdom so that you can have understanding of what God's promises to us is. How we can see God's hand and trust God's hand. And so we have faith in him. Now when we don't, and we just say, oh God, help me through this, and yet we're not really praying, asking God to give us wisdom to get us through this trial, understanding that God is putting us through something that we need to go through. But when we do, he gives us wisdom. We come out better on the other side. When we don't, we become like a double-minded person, unstable in all our ways. You know what happens many times when say people gets unstable and they're going through a trial? You want me to show you? And they don't come back. You know why? Instead of asking God for wisdom, they poor pitiful me. Nobody's gone through nothing like this. They said that to me. I can't believe they said that to me. I can't believe they did that to me. I can't believe. And James says, grow up. You bunch of scattered Jews out here, you're running around, you run away, grow up, you're saved. Count it joy what God's going to bring out of this when he's all said and done. Because when God's said and done, it's all going to bring joy if you suffer as a Christian for the right reasons. Look on, if you would. Verse 8, double-minded man. Then some people said, well, verse 9 through 12, or 11, just don't make any sense. But he's talking about the poor. Sometimes when you're going through and you're poor in life, instead of getting all down, he said, what you do is, he said, let the brother of low degree rejoice that he's exalted. Whenever something happens, he's able to be lifted up. But then he's talking about the rich. You know, the rich has a tendency to trust in the riches and think that they can just fix any problem. But my friend, there's a lot of rich people found out that money can't buy sleep. Money can't buy good health. And money definitely don't buy God. Some of these people who's bought their way through, and sometimes people say, well, why does so-and-so get by with this? And they don't seem to ever get in trouble. They buy their way out of everything. But one of these days they'll stand before God. They won't buy their way out of that. But look in verse number 12 real quickly. But the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Turn with me one more place. I'm going to close right here. Look, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 8. People says, why? Why did God choose to do that? Deuteronomy chapter 8. Still stands true today. Notice, if you would, in verse number 16. Let's see. Whosoever feed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might what? And that he might what? To do thee what? At that what? Still the same reason we go through these things. People say, I don't understand. Why does bad things happen to good people? Because that's the way God deals with things. Not if we go through trials, but Junior, when we go through trials. And we shall go through them. Jesus looked at his disciples. He said, in this world ye shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. See, what we do is we ask for wisdom to look at the end product, not the going on. I think sometimes, Linda, when you're hurting over here and your body's hurting a lot, I get thinking about, sometimes I see you over here hurting, and I get thinking about the latter end. No more pain, no more pain. No more worries, no more frets. And see, you can have joy, not in what you're going through, but in what God's going to do. And see, that's wisdom. If you can have God to show you the latter end and not get all absorbed in the moment. Because again, if pain doesn't come, we don't pay it, we don't give it the attention it needs. It's got to hurt to get our attention. Somebody said, why does God make me hurt? Because you would ignore him otherwise. Doris sometimes sings that song, God of the mountain, God of the valley. Why valleys? Because on the mountain we don't hurt. And when we don't hurt, we don't bow down to God. Wisdom is seeking God and asking his help. And why it's good for rich men is they have to come off their high horse thinking they're money, and they have to turn to God and ask God for help. We have to do the same thing. In our trials, we have to, if we're wise, we seek God and ask for wisdom so that we can have joy seeing the latter end of where all of our trials and tribulations are going to bring us. Amen. Let's stand tonight, if you would. You got a song?